Welcome to the Greens and Blues Fort. Ugh, that came in wacky.
Came in hot there. It was
Just
good.
wrong. Yeah. All right, I'll try
A
again.
frog in your throat.
Welcome to the Greens and Blues 14er podcast. This episode, Zach throws a deep dish pizza at a shuttle bus. I sprint away from some harmless mountain goats, and we work through our individual experiences on Quandary Peak. So, Zach, we're going to talk about Quandary Peak today, but before we get into that, how are things going for you?
They're going great, Eric. We were talking before we started recording here. I had a couple girls over for a sleepover with my daughter this weekend, and that was, for any of you that have done this, it was a first, having multiple kids over, and that was exciting.
That's
exciting in the sense of I did not sleep much.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little chaotic, but we came out unscathed. All friendships are still intact.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
My marriage is still intact. So that's good. I'm also coaching my daughter's basketball team. And team we played last night, the coach from that was the most, I'm going to use a word that Gen Zers use. He was the most extra coach. Everything involved yelling and screaming.
Oh my gosh.
And gesturing, working the refs. It was a sight to behold. And I've not had this happen before in the way that it did, but after the game, all the parents came up to me and the other coach and were like, thank you for not being that way. We really
Seriously.
Appreciate your easygoing nature.
Yeah. That sounds like a nightmare to have to even explain that to the girls on the team. Hey, we're not going to do that.
That's not what this is about. I mean, some of these parents, particularly this coach, seems to think that his kid in Norman, Oklahoma in 2024 is the next big thing. Wow. Kind of lost sight of the prize there, but
yeah, probably gets rid of all the fun that goes into it.
How about you, Eric? How are you today?
I'm good. I would say one thing. So I need to give a shout out. So our podcast is on a number of different platforms, Apple and iHeart and everything, but there's one in particular that was giving me a lot of problems, and people kept posting like, hey, I can't find you on this particular site. And I won't say the name of it, but it rhymes with Glotify. And so I kept getting posts from people saying, I can't find you on here, or, you know, I can only find one episode. And so one of our listeners, Ryan Perry, I'll use your full name, Ryan, just to give you full credit. I think I sent him a Facebook Messenger note saying, hey, can you help me figure out what's going on here? Like, what are you seeing on there when you look? And he found out we actually had a couple of different versions of our podcast on there. So he was sending me screenshots. He was on there for like a half hour with me trying to troubleshoot what was going on. And that gave me enough information to go back to our host and say, hey, let's try and figure this out, because, you know, this is a major platform. I want people to be able to hear us on there. And so, Ryan, thank you so much for all of your help. That was super awesome of you to spend time helping us get onto Glotify properly and so that everyone can hear us on there. So I appreciate it, Ryan. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Ryan. This also gives some insight to our listeners into the managerial dynamics of this podcast. Zach comes on and tells funny jokes, and Eric does literally everything else. So if you have anything of a technical nature that needs to be addressed, it's Eric that's doing it. So
well, I'm not bringing the eye candy. I can tell you that
we are in the proper medium for both of us.
Yes, for sure.
The face made for radio. So what are we talking about today, Eric?
We're talking about, I guess we called it an honorable mention several episodes ago when we walked through what we felt were the easiest 14ers in Colorado. And this one often gets brought up, rightfully so. We're going to talk about our different individual experiences on Quandary Peak.
Yeah, and in reviewing the peak and in looking at some of my old pictures of hiking quandary, there's a part of me that's like, man, that should not have been an honorable mention. That may be top tier easy peak. I have fond memories of hiking Quandary Peak, and like pretty much any peak in Colorado, I think it's a delight, but fairly easy to hike. And although we will bring up some complications in hiking it that have arisen in the past year or so, are there any tidbits that you want to include? Any fun bits of trivia about Quandary Peak?
I think though, as I look at some of the stats, it's been about 10 years since I've hiked it. You start right around maybe just under 11,000 feet. So you gain the for the purists out there, you gain the requisite 3,000 feet of elevation in order to officially say you've climbed a 14er. But the round trip is just under 7 miles, which is about right. I think you start sort of close to tree line. You're going through a little bit of a forest in the beginning, but the rest of it's kind of walking along a ridge. And I think you can see your destination for the most part once you emerge from the forest. So I would agree with most everything that I've seen. It's class one. There's a trail the whole way, pretty straightforward, and it's an enjoyable hike. So I don't know if I have any. Maybe I just summarized the whole stinking thing right there.
All
But I
right,
don't
let's
know.
go home.
Yes, right.
That sounds good. Go to the .com, look up the route description and hit it.
Be
Yeah.
lazy like Eric, and then you're done.
I would just say a few other things. Quandary has a fun name. A quandary is a question.
You like to ask
Ironically,
questions.
I do. That's what I do for a living. I looked up Jerry Roach, and Jerry does not use quandary in a kind of incomparable way.
That's too bad.
It's too bad. I was looking for some dad joke word pun from Jerry, but Quandary has a fun name. If the interwebs are to be believed, it's because some miners back in the day found a vein of rock and they didn't know what it was, and it was a quandary. And
Oh, you're kidding.
well, that makes sense. I don't know if that's apocryphal or made up, but as my historian friend likes to say, if it's not true, it should be. Because it's such a good explanation.
I like that.
Quandary was also home for many years to, I've mentioned it before, the Quandary dog that lived near the trailhead and would just run up and down the mountain, probably had the most ascents of Quandary. And I think there's like a little headstone now for the dog somewhere around there. And Quandary, according to Colorado 14ers Initiative, is the most climbed peak in Colorado. It's probably owing to its proximity to Summit County cities like
And
Breckenridge,
Breckenridge,
Frisco, Dillon, Silverthorne,
Silverthorne too,
and Denver, too, to some degree. If you've ever spent any kind of tourist time in Summit County and you say, what's a peak I could go hike today? Somebody at the hotel or resort or at the Chipotle is going to be like, well, have you tried Quandary Peak? They don't say, hey, have you tried, Red Peak in the Gore or something like that? Have
You
you
heard of
gone?
Sneffels?
Have you done the Grand Traverse in the Gore?
Right.
No? Yeah. And I feel it's apt at this point to introduce our favorite segment of the podcast. This is what does Jerry Roach say? Or excuse me, what does Dr. Roach say?
Love hearing from the doctor.
He says Quandary is justifiably popular because of its proximity to Denver and a major highway, which we just mentioned. It is a celebrated winter ascent, and people often ski the gentle east slopes, which is true. Quandary is also a good spring training climb. The west and northeast ridges offer a more technical challenge. Quandary has something for everyone. So noticeably absent there is Jerry's dry wit and sense of humor, but he is right. Quandary is a fun peak. 99% of people are going to hike it the way we're going to talk about, but there is another route up Quandary, which I will briefly mention for cautionary purposes. So
You have experience with that one, don't you? The class three?
I in a kind of anecdotal way, I was hiking a peak near, I was hiking Mount Fletcher, which is kind of adjacent to Quandary Peak. and I was descending Fletcher. It was probably 1 PM, maybe even a little earlier. Yeah, no, it was probably 1 because I'd had a very nice long picnic at the top. I'd really enjoyed my lunch that day. And it was just a bluebird day. But clouds were kind of rolling in. And as I'm descending Fletcher, I see these, I'm sorry, this is stereotypical. They look like unprepared hikers.
Mm.
And weren't really hikers. They had on like tennis shoes and shorts, because as with Jerry Roach, we don't like the shorts crowd, right?
Yeah, he didn't like shorts. Yeah.
And I see these people about to, they're kind of heading towards Fletcher. And I said, oh, are you going up Mount Fletcher? And they said, no, we're going up Quandary.
Are you now?
The only way to go up Quandary from the Fletcher Quandary saddle is a kind of gnarly class 3 on very loose rock ascent. And I looked at that and I'd been kind of admiring it most of the day. And I said, you're going to go do that? And they were like, wow, that looks kind of hard. And I said, that's really hard. I said, you may have missed the trailhead. And they're like, oh, we'll give it a go anyway. I don't know. I was just kind of like, caveat emptor, buyer beware. I was like, all right, well, you know what you're getting yourself into. And I said, well, that looks awfully hard from my perspective. But I kept looking at the newspapers to see if there was a rescue or anything. There probably was. There wasn't. So I suspect they got to a certain point and turned around, and or maybe they made it all the way to the top. And if so, good for them. Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah, I think the other thing about Quandary, too, is to mention kind of its aesthetic quality. It's a really prominent peak that you can see from Highway 9 there as you go over towards south towards Hoosier Pass. It has a cool kind of angular massif.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to add there, Eric?
Do you think that you can see it from I-70 as you're going, as you're kind of straddling north of the Sawatch, north of the 10 mile, do you think that you can see that even just like a brief glimpse?
I think you can.
I bet you can do it really fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Blink and you might miss it, but because it'd be through a little window there, you can for sure see it from the top of Hoosier Pass. And I don't know. Yeah. You might be able to see it from I-70. You can definitely see it from downtown Breckenridge.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So yeah, it's the largest peak in the range. And so it's got some prominence, and it has a kind of long beveled ridge that you can look up at, which is really fun to see. And because it's got such prominence, you get to look out on the entire 10 mile and Mosquito range when you're at the top. And there's that kind of allure to the peak itself.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so, see the Calibron just a few miles south of there, I think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the kind of the whole 10 mile range laid out to your north. So how do we get there, Eric?
This has been a while since we've done it. I think I summited Quandary back around 2014-ish. You were even before then, I think.
2004.
Okay, yeah. So back then, I think you referred to this before when we were talking as the old rules, which was you basically just park at the trailhead and go. That's not how you do it anymore. I don't personally have experience with this. I don't think you do either, but you were reading up on the shuttle that has to be taken from Breckenridge now. Do you want to explain kind of what the new system is and why it was implemented?
So yeah, the old way would have been to park along Highway 9. There's a road that goes off of Highway 9. I think it's the Monte Cristo Road. Not the sandwich, but
the sandwich,
maybe the count. I don't know. And you could swing off of that and you only went about 100 yards. And then you would take an immediate turn north onto a dirt road and you would park there. And then from there, you would kind of walk along that road until you found the trailhead, which was pretty prominent.
Yeah.
There was no designated parking lot. And as a result, that road got significantly crowded. Mm. They're actually residents along that road. And so they were getting essentially pushed out of their own parking spaces. And on busy weekends, you would see people parking all along Highway 9, which is a very narrow highway. So as a result, Summit County has devised a solution, a shuttle system that runs, if you go to their website, it runs from June 17th to September 17th. Not sure why they picked those specific dates. 2023, it was June 17th to September 17th. From 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., you would park in a lot. There's links on the Summit County website to reserve a parking space. So you park in a lot in Breckenridge. You could reserve that in advance. A full day of parking there as of February of 2024 was $50. Ooh. And then the shuttle is $7 per person. So if it's a two-person crew and you bring one car, you're going to be paying $64 to go up to climb or hike Quandary. I am sure, me being a scofflaw and a bit of an unrequited dirtbag, I'm sure there are ways around this. I'm sure you can park in other places in Breckenridge and just walk to the shuttle. But that certainly means that it's certainly adding some time on. It's adding another logistical dimension. It takes away the improvisational nature of it. Like, you can't just wake up on a super early Saturday morning and be like, hey, I'm going to go do Quandary today.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to, you've got to make a plan in advance, at least if you're going during peak months. So the ways around this are go in early June. Quandary is hikeable in light snow. You can go in mid to late September, October, November. You could do it as a winter climb, or you can try to find a way around it by parking somewhere else in Breckenridge, taking the shuttle. Or you can do like Justin Simone would do, take your car to Summit County along with your bike and ride your bike up to the trailhead.
Yeah.
So all those are available.
We should ask Justin, had him on recently. We should, next time we talk to him, we should see if he would be willing to ride his skateboard all the way from Boulder to the trailhead and then just leave his skateboard like next to a tree as he's ascending Quandary.
That would be max effort, right?
It would be.
That would be probably a FKT there, right? Yeah. Fastest known time.
I think so. I think he would have the FKT for that for sure.
For a while. That may be, it's like one of those Wayne Gretzky records, right? No, that one's never going to, that record's never going to fall.
Until you challenge it, Zach, and then we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm
going
to have to learn how to skateboard.
Yeah.
So on the Subi scale, Eric, what would you rate this sucker?
Yeah, how low can we go?
I mean, if you're taking a shuttle and somebody else is driving you and it's a bus that's taking you there, it might be a negative one territory, right?
Yeah. How can you be a positive integer at all in that? That's that's like definitely a zero in my book.
I would say so. Yeah. Unless you decide to do it on a skateboard, park at the top of Hoosier Pass, and you like go down on a bike. And then when you're done with your hike, go back up Hoosier Pass on your bike or something like that. That's the only way you can increase the level of difficulty here. But
that's
even
right.
The old way was really easy. This is why people recommended it. Passenger cars can park there. It was really simple.
Yeah.
And that's part of what makes Quandary is its absolute accessibility.
Yep, for sure.
So when you did this, Eric, you did not have to camp nearby. And as a resident of Castle Rock, you probably haven't had to try to camp it. But have you had any experience camping in the area?
No experience camping around there, no. So I'm not sure. Like you said, there's residents along 9 there to some extent. There's a lot of land, but I'm guessing most of it's probably owned. So there may be camping options, but I really have no idea how accessible they would be, how safe they would be, anything like that. I don't know. Do you have experience with that?
Yeah. So my experience is that it's actually exceedingly hard to find. So there's very little camping along Highway 9 in between Breckenridge. Actually, I shouldn't say very little. There's none. There's no camping on Highway 9 south of Breckenridge to Hoosier Pass. You could conceivably, you know, sleep in the back of a van or a Toyota 4Runner or something, pull over somewhere and hope to not get harassed in the night. But oof, that would not be fun.
Oh.
There are designated campsites along Lake Dillon. If you're looking for camping there, those are designated though. So those are often either reserve in advance or first come, first serve. There are some campsites along Boreas Pass, which is a road that parallels Highway 9 to the east. But then you're putting yourself where you're going to have to wake up in the morning and drive down Boreas Pass and then go back up the road towards Quandary. There's some camping near Alma as well on the other side. But short to say, yeah, there's really not a lot of camping nearby, unfortunately. And that's also owing to the kind of residential situation that's around there.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of McMansions and large homes around there that are unoccupied in the summer months. You can squat in one of those and give that a go.
You're gonna Airbnb one of those and host all of us?
Yeah, those are big. I had a friend that got married around there, and it comfortably slept 25 people. So,
oh my gosh,
yeah,
holy cow,
dig it. So, yeah, what about the hike? What was your experience of hiking Quandary Peak, Eric?
Yeah, and like we just talked about, it was a bit different than what you would do now. So, I had kind of that spontaneous improv moment the day that I hiked Quandary. In that, my initial goal that day was to hike Raisin Torres, which was not a problem. By the time I was done with both of those, I think it was like 8 or 9 in the morning still. And so I said, well, shoot, I got the whole day ahead of me. What else am I going to do? So I figured I would drive to Breckenridge and park at the trailhead and try and summit Quandary. And so, like you said, we can't do that today. The shuttle and the parking situation there, or lack thereof, won't allow it to happen. So at that time, it was okay. I was able to start going up, and there was a few things that were notable about the hike, I think, and I'll get into one of them a little later on when we talk about our song for the peak. But one of the things I noticed was as I was going up, everyone else was coming down, which kind of makes sense.
You got a bit of a late start.
I did, a little bit of a late start, and I think most people were looking at me thinking, no, you're not the wisest tool in the kitchen, are you? But I had to, every time I would get a comment from someone, I had to just kind of say, you know, I'll keep an eye on the weather. If things look like they're going south, I'll come back. I'm not really a huge risk taker. So, but I had to tell that story to every single person I was passing on the way up.
Because I'm not an idiot. I know what I'm doing here.
Not that dumb. Like, I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. So I had to explain that every time I was ran into someone going up the trail. But yeah, the weather held off, and yeah, the hike itself was fun. It was pretty straightforward and wasn't, I mean, there was, and we'll get to this in a second. The amount of effort it took, the efficulty, as Dr. Jared would call it, was fairly low, but you had to work at it. It's like any other mountain. You got to get your legs into it and get your lungs into it. But besides the sweat, there's no route finding. You might even find a couple of goats on the way. I think Dr. Jerry talks about it in his description that the goats might be a trail guide for you if you are so inclined that way. So it was a nice day. It was a nice hike, and it was relatively straightforward. I enjoyed it.
That's lovely. And you didn't die.
And I didn't die. And I didn't prove everybody else right. So, yeah. What was your experience, Zach?
Well, first I should say, probably going to be skinny on route description today because there's really not a lot to talk about. It's one of the most straightforward hikes that people can do.
Yep.
There's no route finding. There are no other trails to get off on. Once you're on the trail, it takes you to the top. It's very straightforward. There's not even a lot of switchbacks. You kind of gently move up this incline the entire way. So for all of that, yeah, there's not a lot really to talk. There are no moves at the end. You just kind of keep going.
Unless you're doing it from Fletcher.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, my friend, you are doing something else. Yeah. And I cannot describe that. I saw that route and I was like, ugh, that looks gross. Yeah, my experience was with a dear friend of mine. It was a friend of mine from college. Her name is Annie Griebel, who I've kind of since fallen out of touch with for no good reason. But Annie and I hiked it in 2004. She was working as a school teacher in Breckenridge. And I went to go visit her. And we're hanging out one evening and we said, you know, we should go hiking tomorrow. Probably like many people have felt about Quandary. And we were like, well, let's just go do a 14er. You know, I think I was 25. She was 24 at the time. We were in good shape. And so, yeah, we went and hiked Quandary. And it was super simple and straightforward. We got up probably not super early as well and got after it. The one thing that I really remember is getting to the top and being really happy about it. And then seeing these super dark, gloomy clouds kind of drifting in. And this was probably early, mid-July. And seeing those clouds drift in, and the clouds have a look when they're when they're not going to be good. And they were they were dark. They had some blackness in them. And I really remember being like, man, you know, Annie's she's a girl from Colorado. She knows that too. And I was like, I hope we do not get just creamed here. So it made what should have been a leisurely descent into a somewhat less leisurely descent. We worked our way down pretty quickly. And then, as I'll mention later, we got down and we wanted lunch. And our first thought was Bojo's Pizza in Idaho Springs.
Of course, of course.
So I cannot separate that day out from my dear old friend Annie and from deep dish pizza at Bojo's.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
It was a really enjoyable hike, though. I do not remember it being difficult at all. I don't remember the grunt being bad. It was just a really enjoyable hike. And the views from the top, even though it was cloudy, it was clear.
Mm.
The views are sensational. It's got great views all around.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
If you were to ask Annie what her recollection of the journey was, what do you think she would say?
Oh, wow.
I'm sure she would remember it fondly as well, but would her, you think she would focus also on trying to get down really fast because the storms were coming?
I think she would certainly mention that. She may mention how gung-ho Zach was to hike it, and she may not have been as gung-ho. I was looking at some pictures of it, though, and we both seemed really happy. Yeah, hopefully it would be a fond memory for her. I don't know. Maybe I should send her this podcast when it comes out, and just as an homage to our good friendship. But
there you go.
Yeah, I think for her, she was living in Summit, and so for her, the effort wasn't as hard either. And she was a tennis player and a runner, and so, you know, she was very well conditioned. I think I probably was a little more gung-ho, but I think she was probably in better shape than I was at the time.
So she's from Colorado, in good enough shape to hike it, yet she hadn't hiked it before?
She had not. I think it may have been her first 14er.
Interesting. Okay.
And I don't know if she's done any more since. She's got kids and an active spouse now, so maybe they've done some more. But yeah, I believe that may have been her first peak.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And maybe that was a good part of it, but I think we'd probably both remember just how good of friends we were at the time.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So how would you rate Quandary, or do you have any notes on the hike itself, Eric, like difficulty, things that you remember?
I really don't, because to your point, even the route descriptions, there's not much to say because it's really just trail the whole way. That's a good note that there's no switchbacks either. I hadn't really thought about that, but it's really is almost, it's not a sheer straight up, but you're really not going back and forth as you shimmy your way up. You're kind of just hiking up the whole thing. Yeah, it's, I would say the difficulty was pretty low. I definitely was sweating a little bit, but far less than most of the other 14ers that I've done. It's worthy of the class one rating that it's got, at least from the east, where, like you said, most people are going to be hiking it from. It's pretty straightforward. And you can see, I don't know if you can see the true summit most of the way after you emerge from tree line, but you can see almost all the way up to the top. I mean, you can see the way that you're going to be going.
And there are no false summits. Like, once you're there, you're there.
Okay.
As I recall.
Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure of. If there was any false summits, there was only like one, and it was probably like right before the true summit. So yeah, it's really straightforward. And yeah, there's a lot of reasons why it is the most hiked 14er in Colorado. It's well located. It's a straightforward hike to do, and it's enjoyable. It's It's not like you're on scree slopes the whole time. I think the rock is good for the most part. I don't remember any scree at all, actually. The more we're talking about it, the more this seems like an outlier 14er. this seems like kind of a strange one.
One of these is not like the others.
maybe another reason why it's so popular. It's if there's not a lot of talus in that, then it's going to be a more fun hike than, say, a lot of the Sawatch ones where there's scree all over the place.
Yeah, class ones and twos are made differently, as we've noted, right? Yeah. This is an easy peak. Not a lot of talus hopping. You'll never have to use your hands. The worst thing you might get, I think, are some sore knees on the descent. But yeah, I remember it as you did. I would rank this one in terms of difficulty. I mean, other than the obvious, which is elevation, right? And the fact that you're at 14,000 feet and you're doing work. Difficulty is a one. Grunt factor is a one. Beauty on a scale of, you know, one to five is probably a four. You're not going to get solitude. You're going to be surrounded by a lot of people. You're going to be people and their dogs. There may be people doing weird things at the top, but the views are great. So, you know, you're looking out on Mount Silverheels and north to the 10-mile range and south to the Mosquito Peaks. You can see Holy Cross. Mm-hmm. You can see the Gore Range. You can see the Front Range. A lot of cool views from up there on a clear day. Probably doesn't get any better. And if you like to hike it in the winter, it's winterable. Mm-hmm. It's not on an aspect that tends to carry a cornice. So if you want to do an intro hike for snowshoeing and do a 14er in the winter, this would be one that I've thought about a lot, going up and hanging out with you, Eric, and we can go up and do a winter 14er together. And it's good for that. And as Jerry Roach says, a lot of people ski off of it. So it's even good enough to do that. The obvious caveat to all this is you can make anything dumb if you want it to. And as Roach notes, there's something for everyone here. So if you want to do that class three saddle between Fletcher and Quandary, take it up a notch. That is there. And that is more, I think, will require significantly more route finding, significantly more use of your hands, significant more effort. But let's be honest, most people aren't going to do that. And if you're willing to put in that amount of effort, there's other peaks in the 10-mile Mosquito Range that actually require that level of effort just to ascend them. Wheeler Peak and a couple others. So I would say for what most people are going to do, this is an easy introductory peak.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I was going to ask you about, you mentioned other peaks around with some challenge. So would you say others are good representative 13ers in the area that would give you more effort or effortculty in the 10 mile than Quandary would?
So the 10 mile range has, I believe, three, I'm trying to count in my head, peaks 9 and 10 are 13ers.
Okay.
Fletcher, Pacific, Atlantic, Crystal, and Drift are all 13ers. So peaks 9 and 10 are walk-ups. They don't have a trail, but you can walk up on the same as Quandary. Mm-hmm. Crystal Peak has got a fairly easy class 2 ascent. Fletcher is, you're going to have to do a little rock hopping. It's class 2. Pacific can be hard.
I thought I read that Pacific is kind of 2 plus.
It's 2 plus
area
on the easy route, and it's 3 on its harder kind of west ridge, which is what I did to ascend it. It's a little harder. It's probably the hardest peak in the 10-mile range. And then to the south, there's Wheeler, which is in the Mosquito Peaks. But yeah, Pacific's probably the hardest one. If you want to do the Atlantic Drift Traverse, that's class 5. That's nasty. But you can do those separately as class 2 hikes.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd say those are, you know, if you want a representative peak for the area, it's probably Crystal Peak. They're all magnificent peaks with great views. You know, if you're on Crystal, Peak 9 or Peak 10, you're going to see like ski equipment and stuff that. So, you know, civilization is not far away on any of these. So, well, now it's time for my favorite segment, Eric. If Quandary was a song, what song would it be?
You got your Barbara Walters voice there?
It's more my Hugh Downs.
I'm Hugh Downs.
So do you have a song for quandering?
I do. I don't know, for whatever reason, this song came right up. So I have a running list of a song that I would attribute to each of the 14ers I've summited. And this one was pretty obvious and nothing else really stood out. So this is the one I'm going with. And it's a little bit of a curveball. So you and I are unabashed rock guys. That's our genre of choice. I think it's safe to say.
Mm-hmm.
My pick for Quandary is by an Australian indie band, but that's at least how they're described. I don't know any other songs from this band other than the song I'm going to choose for Quandary, but this song I think is decidedly dance pop. It's very upbeat. It's very catchy. And I think it just fits the mountain really well. So the band is called Shepherd. They involve a few siblings and then a whole bunch of other people in the band, but the song is called Animals. And the reason that I'm picking a song called Animals for Quandary is because I ran into a few animals on Quandary Peak.
Did you?
Just a few. There's kind of the requisite marmots and pika, and you mentioned the dog too, but for me, the most prominent animal on my hike, and maybe for others too, were mountain goats. They were all over the place when I was going up and down the mountain, so much so that by the time I got to the summit, I ran into what seemed like a kind of a grumpy grandma and grandpa mountain goats that basically kicked me off the summit. They were not too happy to see me there. And so I got up and said, okay, these are nice views. These goats don't like me. I'll see you later. And I went right back down. And I even ran into on the way down, there was a kind of rounded a little bit of a bend and found a little baby mountain goat, and which was kind of cool. And so I kept my distance, but at the same time was able to get a little bit of a selfie with the young baby goat. But the song Animals, the chorus is really simple. It just says, keep running with the animals. The song has a deeper meaning around just kind of doing your own thing and not letting other people judge you for what you're doing. Which might have been appropriate for, as I was going up, people were looking at me sideways for even trying it that late in the day. But for me, I guess the chorus probably should have been, get run off by the animals or running from the animals. This is from the summit. But the wildlife there was really cool. It was, and on any 14er, when you run into some of the smaller like pikas and stuff, it's fun to hear the squeaks and it's cool to see them run around. But I think the mountain goats were so prominent on Quandary that was ingrained in my experience and a part of why it was such an enjoyable hike for me. So I'm picking Animals by the band Shepherd.
That's awesome. Never heard of it. I'm going to Google it. Although Googling Shepherd Animals is probably going to be probably just going to get a bunch of Bible stories or something.
It could be. What's your pick, Zach?
My song is, so in addition to rock, my other genre is the blues. And given my experience of those beautiful dark clouds moving in, I literally went through my music and I did a search for storm, which yielded Riders on the Storm, which I did not want to put on there because that's about a serial killer on the loose. That's not what I experienced. So I found and then listened to, and it rang true. Or didn't ring super true. I don't know if their lyrics work, but Stormy Monday by Eric Clapton. Thought was the chorus is, they call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad.
Yeah.
Which is not in any way reflective of my experience of the mountain, but it was a stormy day. So that's all I got. I could not think of anything better for this, and I didn't want to punt. So Stormy Monday it is. Everybody go listen to Eric Clapton play the blues.
There you go.
So
I like it.
Places to eat nearby, Eric. You've been around that area a fair bit. Are there favorites that you have in the area?
I've got two favorites, actually. So one is in downtown Breckenridge. We talk about our friends, all of our new friends that hike Quandary that may be visiting Breckenridge or visiting Summit County in general. Breckenridge has a few places that are really great to eat at. but one is kind of iconic as well as being really good. It is a crepe stand that's in the middle of downtown. You're familiar with that one?
Oh, a crepe with a Nutella and banana, man.
Oh,
let's
my gosh.
Fire it up.
It's awesome. It's glorious. And it, so it's called Crepes a la Carte. It's downtown. It's, I think it's open all year round because I've been there even in cold weather and there's a line to get crepes. And it's funny because I grew up thinking, oh, crepe, it's like a flimsy pancake, like a wimpy thing. No, these, you can hold a pizza in this thing. Like it's robust enough. You could, there's pizza toppings. You can get like a taco version. There's all sorts of savory options. And there's also, if you want like a big dessert, you can get, like you said, Nutella and banana is awesome. There's like a s'mores option. And they do gluten-free too, which is great for my family. So they have gluten-free crepes. So
you're making me think of Talladega Nights right now.
Oh, which part?
Where Jean Girard tells Ricky Bobby he has to eat some crepes or he'll break his arm. And he's like, these colors don't run. And Cal Naughton's like, they're just like thin pancakes. I had a whole mess of them just this morning.
Oh,
excellent.
Oh, Ricky Bobby.
I had forgotten Crepes a la Carte. That is a dynamite pick right there. What's your other one, Eric?
So the other one, it's a bit farther up. It's in Silverthorne. So you got to go a good 10 or so miles north of Breckenridge. But if you're taking I-70 to go tackle Quandary anyways, then you're going to go through Silverthorne. So Silverthorne has a bakery. It's called the Blue Moon Bakery. And I guess kind of similar to the crepe stand in that they have savory stuff, like they have sandwiches and burritos and stuff, but they also have baked goods and they have a lot of gluten-free baked goods again. And so if our family is anywhere near Silverthorne, we always go to the Blue Moon Cafe. They've got like peanut butter bars and 7-layer bars and monster cookies, and they can do most of it gluten-free. And so I always get coffee and a pastry of some kind there, and it's fantastic. It's kind of a little bit off the beaten path. It's in kind of a strip mall with a Sierra Trading Post and some other restaurants and stuff. So it's a little harder to find. Thank goodness for Google Maps, but otherwise, it's fantastic. We love the Blue Moon Cafe. So I'm going to go with that and the Crepes a la Carte in Breckenridge. So
Eric, is there any way we could be sponsored by Crepes a la Carte here? And just, we got to work that out.
We got to figure out if they have a message board or something. I've actually thought about if we could get a flyer put up in Blue Moon, that would be glorious. So
I'll do ad reads for Crepes a la Carte or Blue Moon. Crepes a la Carte. Crepes how you like them in the high country. Main Street, that, Breckenridge.
That just sounds professional. Like you've been practicing that. I didn't even share what my restaurants were. You just
it's my radio voice.
Off the cuff. Just perfect. So what about you, Zach? What kind of restaurants would you recommend?
I mean, Summit County it's become a full service, basically, city. And there's a couple really good Tibetan places in Silverthorne. There's good Indian food. There's good Chinese food there. My picks are going to be, one is owing to my experience, the aforementioned Bojo's, which isn't really in that area, but great deep dish pizza in Idaho Springs.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. If you really want to replenish what few calories you burned doing Quandary, that is more than ample. I'll burn 300 calories I can a peak, and then I'll eat 1200 calories worth of deep dish pizza.
That sounds like a good plan, actually. I shouldn't be laughing at that.
And then the other one is, well, I've got a couple more. Dillon Dam Brewery in Dillon.
Mm.
I've always loved their bacon burger, and they have gluten-free options as well. And then if you're going to do like Eric and hike the peak within an hour, you can get up early, pay for $100 worth of parking in Breckenridge, then get back and go to the Blue Moose Cafe at the south end of Breckenridge. And they have very good brunch on Saturdays and Sundays and good breakfast. That used to be a thing my wife and I did when we would live up in Copper Mountain. I would get up in the morning, I would go hike, and then I'd meet her at 10 in the morning at Blue Moose for a little brunch. So
that sounds fantastic.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
There's so many good places. Breckenridge Brewery is great. They've got good scotch there. So many fun places to eat around there. But for sure, actually, I'm going with your pick. Crepes a la carte. Dial it up.
It's pretty iconic in the area. Maybe a little played out. I don't know if folks in the area think it's just like, been there, done that. But I don't know. There's still a lot of novelty for me in there, just kind of waiting out in line at a crepe cart. And it's pretty good.
Let me mention one other thing. This is not a restaurant, but there's a really good bookstore in Breckenridge. Old Man Birkins is the name of it. It's in downtown Breckenridge. They've got just a ton of books. It's a cool used bookstore. And I try to drop by there every time. I've gotten a parking ticket the last two times I've gone there.
Oh, no.
So that's my fault. That's nothing against City of Breckenridge. I love you. But Old Man Birkins, cool bookstore. Lots of cool old used books. They got a bunch of kids' books, CDs, old books. That's a fun place to just drop in and spend a minute or two as well.
That's really cool. I like that.
So what's up next on the Greens and Blues podcast, Eric?
Well, Zach, next time we are going to talk about nutrition, which is really important when it comes to hiking on the mountain. And it's something that, for me in general, is pretty much an afterthought. So I think that I'm going to learn a little bit here. I can share my little tidbits nutrition-wise, but I think we're going to look forward to some good nutrition tips, some good healthy tips from Dr. Simpson, and see...
Not that kind of doctor.
But you can play one on TV, right? And we'll learn about what is good to eat, what's not so good to eat, and the best way to prepare for hiking on the mountain.
That sounds great, Eric. And for those of you that want to reach out to us, you can reach us at greensandbluespodcast@gmail.com. Happy hiking.
I don't know if you actually would throw a deep dish pizza at a shuttle bus.
No, that's a waste of food.
It is a waste of food. It's unfortunate.
We don't do that.
Yeah. You could eat that ahead of, that could be part of your nutrition ahead of the next 14 you're going to hike.